हरे कृष्णा, जय श्री राधे। सो वी वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू बी असेंबल्ड हियर सेलिब्रेटिंग अ वेरी स्पेशल फेस्टिवल, द अपीयरेंस ऑफ श्रीमती राधा रानी। इन इंग्लैंड दे एक्चुअली डिड अ survey of asking people, just random people on the streets. They were asking them, like, what would you do if you were appointed as God for one day? And people had no idea, like, you know, what they would do. They were giving, like, basic answers, as you could imagine. One guy said, if I was appointed as God for one day, I'll go to Fiji and surf all day. Another person said, I'll cure AIDS. Another person said, I'll cure poverty. As if, you know, God is cruel and they're nicer than God, you know. Like, if I was God, I would be better than God. Like, he have no idea how to run the place, but I'll be better. So people have all kinds of misunderstanding of who is God, and the goal is to enjoy unlimitedly, separate from God, and eternally separated from God. We want to have a great time away from God. But this is actually misunderstanding and envy. That's what brought us here to this material world. But we are very fortunate in Krishna consciousness. We have given this really amazing understanding by Srila Prabhupada and his spiritual master, and like that, the chain of disciplic succession, who is actually God and what's his role and what's his position. Like I was saying, how we think if we were put in the position of God, we'll do a better job. And we also think that, you know, I have the right to enjoy, like people think like that. I have the right to enjoy. But God, you know, he shouldn't be allowed to enjoy. He's just like an old man, you know. He should be somewhere up there. We give him thanks once in a while, but he cannot have girlfriends. Like, I can have as many, I want to have as many. You know, we have this kind of mentality, but as far as God, he cannot have any conjugal relationship. People freak out when you say that, you know, you can have different kinds of relationship with God, even you can have conjugal relationship with God. People can't digest that. That's because envy. But in Krishna consciousness, we read how Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We have the tendency and desire to enjoy because it's there in Krishna, it's there in the supreme. And we can read in the Krishna book what Krishna does for fun. Krishna is basically all play and no work. He's just having fun all the time, like playing flute. There was actually one German traveler. He came to India, and on his own he came to this conclusion that Krishna is the supreme and nobody else. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada's guru, asked him, like, how did you come to this conclusion? And this German traveler, he said, yeah, I see all the gods are working, you know, some is carrying a mountain, some is carrying a trident, you know, they're all working hard. But Krishna is just playing flute with his girlfriends. So he came to the conclusion, this is the supreme enjoyer. So we get to see Krishna has this unlimited enjoyment, and he has his cowherd boys, cowherd girls. Krishna has parents in the spiritual world. Krishna has pets. Somebody was asking, why is cow so sacred? And it is sacred and it's a very valuable animal, but it's also the pet of God. Just like, you know, you go to any American and say, like, you know, why do you like dog? And they're like, what do you mean, why do I like? Everybody likes it. Similarly, Krishna's pet is the cow. So Krishna has unlimited enjoyment, and Srimati Radharani is the topmost cowherd girl, Krishna's topmost devotee. And Prabhupada explains here very beautifully Radharani's position. Prabhupada gives this example that, you know, if I'm speaking and there's nobody there in this room, it's no fun if I'm just speaking to myself. But what makes it exciting is, you know, so many devotees, so many people are here to interact. Similarly, Krishna alone is, you know, it's no fun. He wanted to expand himself as unlimited living entities, to interact and to love and to serve and to accept service and like that. So Radharani is Krishna's pleasure potency. In Sanskrit, she's called as Haladini Shakti, Krishna's pleasure potency. And Prabhupada sometimes explains that Radharani as Krishna's tender-hearted female counterpart. That's what Prabhupada describes Radharani. Tender-hearted female counterpart. In another lecture Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan in 1972, Prabhupada explained how Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is nobody greater than him, nobody more superior to him. Mata parataram nanyat kinti asti dananjaya. But then Prabhupada paused and said, there is one person greater than Krishna, that is Radharani. And Prabhupada said, but that is out of love. And another indication of Prabhupada's deep affection for Srimati Radharani is that he would always begin his classes, his lectures, by singing Jaya Radha Madhava, the song we just sang before class. And we don't find any other Gaudiya Vaishnavas beginning their talks with this Jaya Radha Madhava. But Prabhupada also made it as a regulative principle that we sing this song. And also sometime Prabhupada, when he sings this Jaya Radha Madhava, he would also go into ecstasy. He will go into ecstatic trance. And devotees have to like wake him up and get his attention like that. It has a very deep meaning, this song. And also we know Prabhupada's father. Any saintly person would be in town, Prabhupada's father would bring them and feed them and give them, you know, some donation, and they would ask, what can we do for you? And the father would beg the saintly people that you please bless my son, that he would become a great devotee of Srimati Radharani like this. He would get the blessing of all the saintly people. Also on the Jaladuta, when Prabhupada was traveling, he wrote many poems. And in one of the poems, Prabhupada says, my dear brothers, you cannot get success in Krishna consciousness unless you worship Srimati Radharani. It's actually Prabhupada's realization. And also Prabhupada explains, it's very important to understand how Radharani worshipped Krishna in the mood of separation. Just like after Krishna left Vrindavan, she was always in separation from Krishna. And Prabhupada explains, so Lord Chaitanya was in this mood of separation as well. Prabhupada was joking. He was jokingly saying in this talk that he was getting, saying, so many times people say that, you know, oh, Krishna came to me last night and he was pulling on my sari and I saw Krishna and like this. But Prabhupada said, Krishna is not so cheap, like, you know, to come and tag your sari. But Prabhupada said, we should always be in anxiety that I cannot see Krishna. Prabhupada's guru would say, don't be so eager to see Krishna, act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. In other words, become qualified to see Krishna. So this is the proper mood that Radharani had, that she was always in separation from Krishna. And the same mood Lord Chaitanya had, and the six Goswamis also of Vrindavan, you know, they were also in this mood of separation. Hey Radhe, Rajate Vike Chalalite, Hey Nanda Sunno Kuta. They were searching for Krishna and Radharani and all the devotees. And Prabhupada explained how this should be the mood of all the sincere and serious devotees in this line of disciplic succession, this mood of separation. And there are so many examples. One came to mind was Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was the guru of Lord Chaitanya's guru. Lord Chaitanya's guru was Ishwara Puri, and his spiritual master was Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri was such an amazing devotee that one time Madhavendra Puri was actually passing through a temple, and this temple was famous for making this sweet rice, kheer. And Madhavendra Puri thought to himself, I wish I would like to taste this sweet rice so I can also prepare similar sweet rice for my deities back home. And then he regretted and he thought, you know, I'm so low class. Even before Krishna ate, I already wanted to eat it. Like, you know, so he felt so disappointed with himself. So Madhavendra Puri started fasting and he just left. He went to this place, it's like nobody was around. And after all the services was over, Krishna actually came in the dream of the priest, of the pujari, and said, oh, one of my great devotees was passing through and he wanted to taste this sweet rice. So I've hidden one pot of sweet rice behind the curtain, so take it and give it to him. So the priest, the pujari went searching everywhere. Oh, Madhavendra Puri, you're so fortunate. Who are you? Where are you like this? And Madhavendra Puri was so embarrassed and he was so humble, he didn't want the people of the village to find out that Krishna actually stole sweet rice and, you know, hid it for him. So he immediately left the town just to avoid all kinds of like prestige and, you know, popularity like this. And when Madhavendra Puri was leaving this world, he was actually in separation from Krishna. He was regretting. Said, oh Krishna, I wasted my life. You know, I don't have you. I'm dying without, you know, having awakened love for you. I wasted my life like this. And he had one disciple there who was not like very in the mood of Madhavendra Puri. So this disciple, his name was Ramchandra Puri. And he was saying to Madhavendra Puri, you know, why you're dying, why you're crying at the time of death? You should be silent. You should be equal. You should think of Brahman and just be like, you know, no talking, no regrets, just become one with the energy like this. And Madhavendra Puri was regretting. He said, I don't have Krishna and I'm dying and I have this rascal next to me when I'm dying. What could be worse? So he chased him away saying like, please get out of my face. But there was a disciple there, Ishwara Puri, who served Madhavendra Puri so nicely, so much so that Lord Chaitanya actually became, God himself became his disciple. He was such an amazing servant of his spiritual master. So this is the mood in the disciplic succession, that we don't make anything cheap. Like Krishna is cheap, you know, everything is cheap, spirituality is cheap, that I'm God, you're God, like that. But we have to understand from higher authorities, like, you know, what is the spiritual science? I was reading how Prabhupada was visiting France, and they were asking him, like, oh, why did Krishna consciousness come here? Why did Krishna come here like that? And Prabhupada jokingly said, because Krishna heard that the French girls are very beautiful. So he came here to check them out like that. And you're saying this Radharani here, the deity's name, the Radha Parisiswara. So So he's saying, this Radharani, look at her, how so beautiful, she is just like a French girl. Prabhupada was saying like this. And another point Prabhupada was making in regards to this day of Radhashtami, celebrating Radharani's birthday, is that it's very hard to... Krishna is so big. We can't directly approach Krishna. But if we approach Krishna through his devotees, then Krishna is easily accessible. Like Prabhupada would often say this, you become, Krishna says, if you try to become my devotee, I don't take you seriously, but if you become the devotee of my devotee, like 100 times down, then immediately Krishna takes you seriously. One of my friend, he visits from Saudi Arabia with this royal family, and you know they have a place in Beverly Hills where all the movie stars and politicians, they have this secured compound and like this. So when my friend goes for a walk, all these people are very proud. They wouldn't even smile. But as soon as my friend like pats the dog and asks his age of the dog and like that, immediately they open up. So Prabhupada would say like that, this English saying, love me, love my dog. So in other words, if you approach a devotee, then Krishna becomes accessible. And there is no greater devotee than Radharani. So by going to Radharani, Krishna becomes accessible. And when Srimati Radharani sees that we have Krishna's mercy, and she takes it upon herself to take care of us. I mean, if the Supreme Goddess of Fortune is favorably disposed towards you, I mean, what need is there? We don't have to be in anxiety about anything. Everything will be provided. Everything is taken care of. We just need the mercy of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, like Krishna explains in the Gita. Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamiham. Krishna says, one who is fully devoted to him, he takes care of all the needs. Like Prabhupada would often tell the story of Mrigari, the hunter. He was a hunter, he was half killing animals. So Saint Narada would, you know, one time he intervened and said, why are you killing? And Mrigari said, if I don't kill, how will I eat? And Narada Muni said, don't worry about eating, you stop killing and you start chanting Hare Krishna, everything you need will be provided. So after a while, Narada Muni was passing through this hunter's place and he went to visit him. And he wouldn't even bow down, he was jumping in the air. So Narada Muni's friend asked him, when you see your guru, you're supposed to bow down, why you're jumping? And the hunter, ex-hunter said, there's so many ants in the floor, if I bow down, then they'll be killed. So I'm trying to avoid that. And Narada Muni asked him, so how is it going? Like, are you able to eat? And this hunter said, I'm eating so much, I'm getting so much food, you know, I'm not even able to store it or eat it, so I'm constantly giving away. Because the neighboring villagers, when they find out this heinous hunter has become a devotee, become a saintly person, they're all coming to see him with gifts of foodstuff and clothes and like this. So Prabhupada would often say, just like Mrigari, you know, he got so much to give away. And also there is this famous story of this Muslim king, Akbar. Akbar, and he had a servant. His name was Birbal. And Birbal was actually a Hindu and he was a devotee. So one time they really got lost, this king and this, you know, minister. And Birbal was tired, so he just started chanting Krishna's names. And Akbar said, like, what are you doing? You know, we're going to be hungry very soon, we may die out of starvation, let's go look for something, you know. And Birbal said, no, I'm just going to chant and everything will be taken care of, like, you know, you go ahead. So Akbar went and he found some house, and then he said, you know, I'm King Akbar, like that. And then they gave him so much sweet mangoes. So Akbar ate and ate so much that he couldn't finish. So he said, let me take some back to, you know, Birbal. So they brought him, he brought him to Birbal and said, here, eat some fruit. So Birbal was eating. And Akbar said to him, look at you, you know, like, you didn't go searching for food. If, you know, if I didn't go searching, what you would have done? And Birbal said the same thing again. See, I was chanting the names of Krishna and the king of India brings me fruits. So, you know, this is actually the conviction of devotees, that not meant to be like lazy or not go to school or work. That's not the point. But the point is, by serving Krishna, we will be satisfied. It's no guarantee, like, we could be highly placed in school or work or in society, but there's no guarantee that we'll be satisfied. But by adding Krishna consciousness, even if we don't have so much materially, but we will have that inner satisfaction. And Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the Goswamis, he was chanting Hare Krishna, and it was so hot in the middle of Indian summer. And he was chanting next to this Radha Kund, and one tiger came to drink water. One time actually Raghunath Das was chanting, and it was so hot that Radharani came, and she was, you know, holding up her veil to shade Raghunath from the heat. And another one of the Goswamis, Sanatana Goswami, saw this and he started chastising Raghunath Das Goswami, saying, we are chanting Hare Krishna and we are asking for service, but you're not taking care of yourself, that you're making, you know, Radharani come and, you know, serve you. This is not good mentality. Another time, Rupa Goswami, he wanted to make a feast, but they were in a jungle, there was nothing there. Rupa Goswami wanted to prepare a feast for his brother, Sanatana Goswami. And this little young girl, very beautiful girl, and came and gave all kinds of things for preparing feast, like milk and sugar and vegetables and like this. And Rupa Goswami prepared this amazing feast. And Sanatana Goswami came and he was about to take the feast, and he inquired, how did you managed to make such a feast in the middle of nowhere? And Rupa Goswami said, you know, this young girl came and gave me all this bhoga, you know. And Sanatana Goswami immediately could understand that was Srimati Radharani who came to give them this thing. So he was very sorry. He said, oh, we have taken service from Radharani. This is not good, because you're praying and chanting to serve them, but, you know, look like we have taken service from Radharani like this. And it's also explained, 5,000, little over 5,000 years ago, little after Krishna's birth, just like we had Janmashtami, we had Krishna's birthday celebration, and now we're having Radhashtami, Radharani's birthday celebration. Rishabhanu, King Rishabhanu, actually went to Yamuna to bathe. And while he was bathing, he saw this lotus flower. And this lotus flower, in the middle of lotus flower, there was this amazing glow. It was so effulgent. And then when he went close, he found there was a little beautiful girl in the middle of the whirl of the lotus. And this girl was actually sucking her own toe, and she was like very peaceful, very beautiful. So King Rishabhanu actually took the baby home, and Kirtida, the wife of Rishabhanu, was so happy to, you know, have this baby, and they were celebrating. And Lord Krishna's mother, Yashoda, heard that her best friend Kirtida have a girl now. So Yashoda actually went there with her husband and Krishna like this. So immediately Krishna, being very like active and naughty, immediately crawled up on the cradle and went really close to see the, you know, girl child. And the Rishabhanu and Kirtira, they actually thought Radharani was blind because she wouldn't open her eyes. But the thing is, she didn't want to see anyone before seeing Krishna. So she had her eyes closed. But as soon as Krishna went close, immediately Radharani's eyes fluttered and opened wide and blossomed like lotuses. And that's when, you know, Krishna and Radharani saw each other. And Prabhupada also explains that without the mercy of Srimati Radharani, we cannot enter Vrindavan. Vrindavan is non-different from the spiritual world. It's not like, you know, we can take a train to Mathura and, you know, start begging chapatis or something. That's not accessing Vrindavan. Vrindavan is something deep. And once we are qualified by the mercy of Radharani, then we can actually understand it's non-different from the spiritual world. There's actually a joke, I'm sure many of you heard this, how this a priest from Vrindavan went to see the Pope. And the Pope asked the Brajabasi, like, would you like to speak to God? And Brajabasi said, yes, please. So the Pope put him on call with God and he said, please be really short because it's like expensive call. The call is super expensive. And the Pope visited Vrindavan and the Brajabasi asked the Pope, would you like to speak to God? And the Pope said, yes, I would love to. And then he put him on the phone, said, take your time, it's a local call. You can speak as much as you like. So Vrindavan is non-different from spiritual world. And entering Vrindavan, we need actually mercy. It's like one time I was traveling with Suresh and one other friend. We were going to Vrindavan and the plane kept getting cancelled. And we were in this airport for like 8 hours, 9 hours and we couldn't get on the plane from Chennai to go to Vrindavan. And then I just suggested to them, they had this pearl shop, they had this jewelry shop, they had the best pearls from South India. So I said, maybe we'll go buy something for Radharani, you know, we'll buy something. And we just selected a necklace, and even before we finished paying, they were already calling us, okay, like, come, like, we have to board the plane, like that. And we were like looking at each other in amazement, like, you know, we need to, you know, go in the right mood. Also, my sister wanted to go to Vrindavan recently. And so many obstacles. I mean, I couldn't just get a room for her. She's thinking, oh, you're in ISKCON and, you know, Vrindavan and ISKCON, you can do things, you know, make me this best arrangement, you know, I'm coming from USA, like this kind of mood. And I was trying, my friends were not even answering phone calls. And I couldn't get anything done, decent room. Finally, I got hold of this person who promised me he'll give me this nice accommodation in MVT, one of the nicest places to stay in Vrindavan. And 2 days later, I called him to confirm. And then his wife picks up the phone, said, oh, he died in a motor accident. I'm like, oh my God, you know, what could be worse news? So same thing, I forgot that, you know, I was trying to arrange things for my sister, but I forgot, it's like Vrindavan, anybody can just go in, you know, you have to have the mercy. So I started consciously praying to Radharani, please, you know, allow my sister to visit. And then everything started happening and she had like best time of her life. She was so impressed because one friend, he took care of her so nicely. And then she tried to give him some money and he refused to accept it. I mean, that really blew her away. Like in this day and age, like somebody says no to contributions. Like people usually expect that you give something. But she was so impressed. I was joking with my sister, he wouldn't take from you, but he will hit me up when I go to Vrindavan. But the point is, we have to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada would often make this point, how in this age of Kali, Radharani, Srimati Radharani, and Krishna, they have combined this combination, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Radha and Krishna, Krishna expanded himself to have pleasure with Srimati Radharani, but then this very same Krishna and Radharani, they've united. And Krishna appeared in Kali Yuga, but in the complexion and mood of Srimati Radharani, in the mood of a mother, to give us this Harinam, to give us this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it's explained that we are so fortunate, even though we are in Kali Yuga, we are in this Iron Age, but we are very fortunate because of the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this Hare Krishna Mantra. Because even in Satya Yuga, even in Golden Age, there is no guarantee that you're going to, you know, be successful in having love of God. Because even in Satya Yuga, you can miss the opportunity. And it's also explained even in higher planets, even in heavenly planets, you could be a demigod. But again, there is no guarantee that, you know, you're going to attain love of God. But even though we are human beings, we live for like few short years, and we are born in this Iron Age, still by the mercy incarnation of Radha and Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can actually perfect our lives. It's actually very easy. It's very easy and joyfully performed. Because in this day and age, we're not, you know, enthusiastic about spiritual life. We are actually very lazy spiritually. So they've come, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us this, you know, easiest process of self-realization. Like in, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he gives this example of two lazy men. There was a king. The king made the announcement. The king said, I don't mind feeding lazy people in my kingdom, but they have to be super lazy, like they have to be really lazy. So he sent his men, and the men came back and reported there are these two guys who are like bona fide lazy, like completely lazy, you know. So the king said, prove it. So they set this guy's house on fire, and it was blazing fire. And one of them like thought it was sun is so hot, like the sun is like blazing hot that day. And he said to his friend, like, they wouldn't even speak. So he said to, one friend said to another, like, BB, meaning like, back burning. And the other one was thinking, why is he bothering me like this, you know? And the other one said, MA, means move aside. So they were burned, they were burning, but they wouldn't get out of the house. So the king said, you can feed them. It's like, you know, they qualify. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's spiritual master, would say that in Kali Yuga, we're like that in terms of spiritual life. We don't have some eagerness. Somebody put on Facebook, like, you know, you check WhatsApp 5 minutes ago, Facebook 10 minutes ago, email 2 minutes ago, you know, all these apps and programs and YouTube and... But temple visited last year for Diwali, you know. So we have, you know, no interest in spiritual life. And also we have so many anarthas or desires. Like same, Prabhupada's guru gave another example. There was a party, the wedding party, they were going from one side of the river to the other side in a boat, and they were rowing all night. And when they woke up in the morning, they were still in the same place where they started. And they were all like surprised, and they were, you know, wondering what happened, because they forgot to pull the anchor and they were rowing all night. But they didn't go anywhere. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's spiritual master, would often say, like, anchored by material desires and spiritual laziness, you know, we don't qualify, you know, much, which means, you know, human form of life is wasted. Actually, to be able to walk into this temple, even just uninterested, and sit for a few minutes and go away, you know how fortunate that is? If we miss this chance, it could take like another millions of births to be able to do that again. It's not a cheap thing. Prabhupada also says, just like you go through all this immigration headache and checkpoints, and then you take off in the plane, and for some reason they come back landing without going anywhere. You just come back and land in the runway. It's like, you know, so such a bad experience. You went through all that for nothing. Like that, all this hard struggle in human life, if we don't awaken love for Krishna, at least we don't make an attempt, then we just wasted this precious gift. So days like this are very special because the mercy is very accessible. We get more mercy. It's like mercy is on sale. You know, they put things on sale. There's like so much discount. So we can pray to Radharani, we can pray to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and if you're not chanting, I know so many times I meet people from India, they have not read Bhagavad Gita at all. They have them in the shelf as it is, you know, Bhagavad Gita as it is in the shelf. And what to speak of people from other parts of the world, we have not read Bhagavad Gita, we have not begun chanting in a mantra meditation. So days like this, a good day to start. Start reading, make some vows to read every day a little bit. Start, you know, make some vows to chant Hare Krishna on beads. So this way we can make some spiritual commitments. And today, days like this actually very special, and Lord of Mercy is there that we will make lots of progress. Like this morning I was chanting. Usually it's difficult chanting, but this morning I was like, I chanted like, you know, it was not very difficult because today is a special day, it's a holy day. So we have to make a little attempt, make a little endeavor. Everything is already given to us. Like Prabhupada would say, if you've fallen in a deep well and somebody is throwing a rope to pull you out, I mean, you can give so many excuses why not to hold the rope, but at the end of the day, it's us that we are losing. Similarly, we can give so many excuses like why I cannot chant Hare Krishna, or why I cannot read Bhagavad Gita, or why I cannot go to the temple, why I cannot contribute. We have so many excuses. But at the end of the day, that we are the ones that's losing if we don't. It's like nobody to blame. Because in giving that we receive by taking shelter of Krishna and practicing this chanting of Hare Krishna, which is this process, easiest process of self-realization. If you think about it, you know, it's so easy. Chanting Hare Krishna and listening about Krishna and eating spiritual foodstuffs offered to Krishna. I mean, anyone can do this, you know. And if we do this, gradually we awaken the spiritual taste. Sometimes it can be like an acquired taste. Krishna explains in the Gita that, you know, mode of goodness means when you're doing spiritual activities in the beginning, it tastes like poison. You don't want to wake up early, we don't want to chant, we don't want to read books, it's like poisonous taste. But if you do it, Krishna says, at the end it tastes like nectar. But mode of passion means in the beginning it tastes like nectar, but the end it tastes like poison. like smoking or drinking or all these activities. I mean, it's not even nectar in the beginning in a sense, but mode of ignorance means it tastes like poison in the beginning and also poison at the end. So these spiritual activities, you know, we have to do it. We have to get a taste. We have to practice. Like Prabhupada said, if you do something for 7 years, you will get a taste. You will become good at it. Just like none of us, we wanted to go to school, you know. I remember I always wanted to play in the rain and, you know, play with friends in the sand pit and like that. I always thought why the parents are so boring, they're forcing me to go to school, you know. But it's not a question of whether we like it or not, it's good for us. Spiritually speaking, we are like kids. We have to take guidance. I mean, physically we may be like grown up, 40 or 50 or 60, but as far as spiritual life goes, we are like, we have to take guidance from great authorities and start practicing sadhana bhakti. Just like if you're a gardener, I'll end here, I know the arati is going to start in 2 minutes. Just like if you keep saying you're a gardener, but you never went to the garden and dug the dirt and grown something, what kind of gardener is that? Like that you can say you're a spiritual person, but if you don't do anything, love means sacrifice. Love means you have to show the person by serving, by giving, by listening, by understanding like this. So what kind of love we have for Krishna, but we wouldn't even hear him when he says things in the Bhagavad Gita and when he asks us to chant Hare Krishna. So spiritual life, a spiritual practitioner, if you're serious, means you have to put it in practice. Not just like, you know, you read some New Age book and you walk around thinking you're God and, you know, have special wine and marijuana. This won't lead us anywhere. Spiritualist means you put it in practice. We have to rise early, meet people, ask questions, read the books, chant. Like this, this way you will actually get spiritual experience. And then, you know, you can understand like how material life is inferior. Otherwise, unless you have an higher taste, you cannot give up inferior taste. Like the hunters in India, the way they catch monkeys is like they put peanuts inside a narrow pot. The monkey puts his hand and makes a fist, but he wouldn't come out, cannot come out. But he wouldn't let go of the peanuts. He would rather be captured by the hunter and be beaten, but he wouldn't let go. He would keep the fist. So unless we have a higher taste, we actually keep it. You know, we still cling to all these lower, inferior things, even though it only causes like suffering. So we are very grateful to all of you for coming to celebrate Radhashtami. Jai Shri Radhe!